So this is the third Sunday in our series on prayer. This will be the last Sunday. I'm going to switch it up after this, go into the lectionary for a while. But this is our third and last Sunday in our series on prayer. And this Sunday we pick up the story of the Hebrews, the people of God, wandering in the wilderness after God has freed them from slavery in Egypt and promised them a land of their own, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But there's danger in being a people with no land. There's danger in this wilderness time when you have no fortified city, no place to call your own. A large wandering group is a threat, and other tribes want to take care of that threat, wipe out that threat before they become a problem. And so at our story begins, Amalek, a local tribe in the Sinai Peninsula, is looking to protect their territory, maybe protect their water rights, and they attack the Hebrews. So we come in Exodus chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men for us and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with my staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, so that his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the sword. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Moses gets news of this threat, that death is imminent, death by the sword is coming for them, and he totally freaks out and goes to the store and buys all the hand sanitizer and toilet paper that he can find. Now that's not what he does, but you have to wonder why. Why doesn't Moses freak out? Instead, Moses doesn't get afraid. Moses doesn't get all worried. Moses goes up to the top of the hill and he holds up his arms and he starts praying. Now, this sermon is even less interactive than my usual sermon. So I'm going to engage with you in a different way today. And what I would like to invite you to do, everyone at home, is for you to just hold up your hands. Just hold them out to the side and just keep them up there for me. Just keep them up there for me like I am until I let you know when it's time to put them down, okay? Just hold up your hands for a few minutes. If you need to stay sitting down, you can. It said Moses had to sit down. But just hold up your hands and keep them up. Keep them up there for just a few minutes. I felt like Moses this week, holding up my hands. See, on the one side, I've got the job of being your pastor. And on the other side, I've got my kids dangling off of this arm. And at first, I'm solid, right? Things are going well. And then my left arm, my work arm, starts burning a little, starts shaking a little. So I called up my hers. Called up Eugenia to see about what we should do with worship and canceling in-person worship. Called up Mary Ann to figure out how we could do this online streaming. And called up Bill to work out a new plan for the music. But then my right arm starts shaking because the kids need entertainment and life and something to do. So I called up my errands. Called up Lindsay Bohr to see if she could help out. And Scott Sopko to see if, and Amanda, see if they could help out with the kids. But then Jack gets a cough. So then everybody's off the table. And then it's just me trying to hold up both of these arms at the same time, right? And then it turns out I actually need a third arm because you got to teach the kids school at the same time too. So now all my hands are shaking and dropping. How do you keep both arms in the air. Okay, you can put your hands down now. Did it burn a little? Did it feel like that this week for you? Trying to keep these balls in the air, these arms in the air. Life is pretty overwhelming. Maybe if you had kids and grandkids, it was online learning, trying to keep them off of screens for 2 solid weeks, plus also working from home. Or if you're a person who's more vulnerable to the virus, it was staying at home, limiting your contact, canceling your appointments, canceling your usual trips to the grocery store, your usual trips out to your restaurants that you enjoy. And friends, we don't know how long we're going to have to keep this up. So Amalek keeps coming, and the hands are dropping, and Amalek is triumphing. We've got to keep our heads down. We've got to power through because there's no end in sight. My mother-in-law, Jude, told me a great parable for this week from her own life. She went to the grocery store this week, and she bought the last 2 pounds of hamburger in the store. The last 2 pounds. And she took them home and made up a big pot of taco soup that she was going to freeze in portions and have it portioned out for the week, right? So she moved it over to a bowl, to a glass bowl, in order to be able to portion it out. And then she was reaching up into the cupboard, you know? She's got this big, great plan, got it all worked out, right? Got the week settled, got the last 2 pounds of meat, reaching up into the cupboard to get the bowls to portion out the meat, and her hand slips, the bowl falls down, and crack, hits on the side of the bowl, falls on the ground, and then the bowl of taco soup, well, it's okay for about 10 seconds. And then, bang, the bowl explodes, the taco soup goes all over the kitchen, all over the floor, and that last 2 pounds, the last 2 pounds of hamburger meat is gone on the floor. That's what this week kind of felt like a little bit. The best laid plans. And I think the crazy thing about this reality that we are living is that it's bringing to all of us a reality that a lot of people live all the time. You see, there's a lot of people out there who are living right on the edge all the time. For every one of us who felt like we were holding our arms up and getting shaky, see, there's hundreds of Joshuas who were down fighting the war, bleeding and dying. There's people like Jean, my friend in Haiti, who's always concerned that every sickness that comes into his door could mean the death of his children because he doesn't have good access to medicine and to good nutrition like most of us do. There's our legacy families for whom no school doesn't just mean getting stuck at home. It means how do we get our meals? How do we get our breakfast and our lunch and our weekend backpacks? Where are they coming from now? There's people like Mabel who called the church this week because she has to make the choice between paying her power bill and paying her medical bills. See, in a strange way, the coronavirus is actually bringing us a little bit closer together because we're all being connected in this experience of being a little bit closer to the edge of life, to the edge of faith, to the edge of hope. Then, the Gospel of Luke says, then, after telling the disciples about days of hardship and suffering that are coming, then after telling them about days of fear and uncertainty that are sure to come in the future, then Jesus tells them to pray always and never lose heart. Then, Jesus says, when things are hard, when things are rough, when things aren't fair, when things aren't what you expect, then you need to pray. You need to pray like a woman who is at the edge of society, like a widow, like a woman who has lost her husband, her only means of survival, her means of support and place in society. And this woman who has lost everything and has no ability now to get food and no ability to have a place in society is being treated unjustly. And someone is coming up against her and taking away what little she has left. And she is being treated unjustly. And this woman is coming to the judge and asking for justice and mercy. Asking, and she keeps coming, and she keeps coming, and she keeps asking, and she persists, and she perseveres, and she won't stop until the man finally says, you know what? This is giving me a black eye. I have got to give her the justice that she is asking for. That's what perseverance and prayer looks like, Jesus says. Pray like the widow, coming and coming to the Lord with power and persistence. Pray like Moses, holding up his hands and knowing that if he drops them, all that he loves, his people, will be killed and destroyed. Pray like you're falling out of a plane and you're tumbling and falling and falling, and the only thing that can catch you is that parachute of prayer. Jesus says, in the face of great fear, we pray and don't lose heart. We pray like our lives depend on it, and we never give up. We pray and we persevere. We pray because Jesus has taught us, and we know from the scriptures, that our God is a God who heals and protects, who watches over us like a good shepherd and provides for us. We pray and we call upon our friends and our family to gather up underneath us and help us to hold these arms up. Because even if we can't be together in person, there are ways that we can support and love each other through email, through phone calls, through giving to organizations like the United Way and United Ministries that are coming up under the least and most vulnerable of people in our community in this time where they are even more vulnerable, like that widow. And we persevere because we know soon our God will bring justice. Jesus promises us that soon our God will be victorious, and that by the end of the day we will be found victorious. Our hope is not in social distancing. Although that is a very good idea and a great way to love your neighbor at this time and the most vulnerable among us, by keeping your social distancing. But our hope is not in that. Our hope is not in the government, and our hope is not in the supermarket. Our hope, our life, rests in God revealed in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says that God will come quickly. Maybe not as quick as we would like, but God will come quickly and grant us justice, reprieve, grant us restoration, and an end to our need to persevere. Our God will defeat his enemies, and his enemies are the coronavirus. And we know that God will be victorious over our enemies and his enemies. So we persevere and we pray, and even if we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death, we know that God will still be with us, that God will walk with us through that, and that we will see the other side, the new country, the new land, the world that God is bringing into existence. The world that we pray for every week, the world that we persevere and that we work for, and that when the sun sets for the final time, our God will be victorious, and Jesus Christ will reign and be the light of all people, and we will be no more sickness and no more death, and we will all join together in a heavenly chorus singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen."